You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Let's go. Power rankings time. All right, I'm going to get this out of the way, Evan.
Yep.
I've already told you this, but I'll tell it for everyone to hear. If you put the Boston Red Sox in your top 10, you lose all ability to do power rankings. So you got that? So
yep.
Off
Roger.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
All right. And I know that you want to put the Mets up there too. You desperately want to put the Mets.
Yeah, I'm like, it's like a partial buy-in, but I'm not that bought in yet. I feel like if they get over 500, and I know records mean nothing, but if they get over 500, I'll feel better. But right now, it's like, yeah, sure, we beat the Braves, which is like unheard of in Mets world. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, anything could drop at any moment.
Will the Mets be in your top 10 this season? What's your prediction?
Going into it, I would have said no. Right now, since they're doing well, I'll say yes. But I mean,
either you say, come on, just say yes or no. Like that, like, but you're like, oh, maybe, yeah. But maybe not. No, no.
I'll say yes.
Hold on, I'm writing it down. On April, whatever.
Yeah.
Mets will be in top 10. I mean, this is the same thing when Papelbon said the Phillies were number six best team in baseball, and they had like 10 games under 500. So sometimes you get
chances.
You know what? Well, maybe we'll carve out some of the baseball's in boring loose change, and I'll put some money on the Mets for you. At plus whatever they are, 8,000.
Yeah.
The World Series. Who knows?
Yeah.
So anyway.
JD Martinez gets a healthy back. Maybe one of these days we'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, he's saving himself for when it counts. Number 10. Let's go. Number 10. What do you got?
All right. So number 10, they kind of hopped in due to playing pretty well lately. Granted, it was against kind of other, you know, kind of crappy opponents, but at the same time, there was a lot of crappy weeks toward the end of the ranking, so I have the Tampa Bay Rays in at number 10. They took 2 of 3 from the Rockies and the Angels. They've been playing really good baseball lately. Jose Caballero, who they got from the Mariners, has really been turning on lately. Ryan Pepio, who they got as part of the Glasnow trade, starting to look like a guy that makes sense why they acquired him. So I put them in there because partially some of the other teams lost, but I also think that, you know, they're on the up and up and they are the Rays. So even though they got off to a rough start, I can't foresee leaving them out too much, you know.
The Rays way started to take root. Now they're not starting off at 20-3.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were last year, but it's starting to take root. And Pepio is an interesting one. That I feel like he's an interesting one. I think that we're going to have to do a podcast with him at some point. Obviously, a huge part of that Glasnow trade came from the Dodgers was the sport, you know, they need if you want to talk about a swing guy for the Rays in terms of if they're going to be good or not, they need him. They need him to get to the middle of the year where they get some of these other guys back. And there you go. So
yeah, but having Efwin Savali and him, if they're all good at the top of rotation, it will take away some of the hurt from, you know, the McClanahan not being there. So
yeah. All right, number 10. There you go, Rays. Whoever thought it, not me. Yeah. Number 9.
All right, so number 9, I have the Philadelphia Phillies, another team that kind of capitalized, which you need to do if you're a good team, capitalize on some, you know, kind of crappy opponents. But they took 2-3 from the Nats, 2-3 from the Cardinals. You know, the Cardinals, everybody thought like, hey, they might turn it around. But, I mean, so far they've kind of been average. But the Phillies are turning it on. Alex Bohm is hitting like crazy. Bryce Harper went from having no home runs to 3 home runs in a matter of one game. You know, their starting rotation has looked pretty good. Ranger Suarez is doing really well. Zach Wheeler's doing really well. And the back end of their bullpen is a little iffy. I know that Alvarado got blown up, but if he's on, they're really good. So I got the Phillies in at number 9.
All right. Well, I had the Phillies much higher at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
I feel like the Phillies, if they took a really bad turn for the worse, like that would make me sad. It would make me sad. It would, because it's like it goes from rolling so well last year, and you're thinking you're going to roll it over. And we've named them clubhouse of the year, clubhouse, the best clubhouse in the baseball. And then you have the sad trombone of a bad start. And that's not good. It's not good for anybody. So.
Yeah, it's kind of funny when we had Jack Fritz on the K4. He's like, if they keep playing like they're playing now, we were all sitting there, we're all like, yeah, they're not going to keep playing like they're playing now, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, people probably would, yeah, because they went from like this is the best team we've seen in forever to, wait a second, how does this change overnight? No. Yeah. Anyway, they're hanging in there. Number 9. What do you got, number 8?
So number 8, up one from last week. It's a team that just keeps winning. Obviously, you never know when the other, whatever the phrase is, whenever the other thing's going to drop. But,
That's a shoe.
Shoe. All right. Whenever the other shoe is going to drop, but it's the Pittsburgh Pirates. 9-4. Took 2-3 from the Orioles, which was really impressive. 1-2 from the Tigers. They've just been really impressive. Jared Jones has kind of come out of nowhere for like the conventional baseball fan and been really good for them. Aroldis Chapman's been really good. Obviously, Bednar's gotten off to a rough start, but if he can get going, having him and Chapman at the end of the bullpen is going to be really good. And then they have a really good lineup that's really hitting on all cylinders. You know, Cabrian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, Jack Sawinski, O'Neill Cruz. So they do have a really good team, and they have a really good, like, bunch of names. It'll just be curious to see if they all keep going in the same trajectory or if it just all falls.
Our guy Connor Joe got off to a good start. I didn't check that, but listen, all I know is that I like talking to him, and he has good hair. So, Pirates. I think we're all rooting for the Pirates. Let's be honest. Yeah. I think we're all rooting for the Pirates. All right, number 7.
So number 7, they weren't ranked last week because I think they were 2-4 last time we filmed, but now they're 9-4. It's the Kansas City Royals. They won 7 straight against the Orioles, the White Sox, and the Astros. So obviously the White Sox, everybody's kind of beating up on them, but the Orioles and the Astros, everybody will probably presume that they'll end up being really good teams. Obviously we had Oz Ocampo on talking about Ronel Blanco, probably the Astros ace right now. Obviously, you know, it remains to be seen if he continues that, but I mean, you can't argue against it right now. But, Royals lead the MLB in run differential. They actually took it over from the Guardians. The Guardians were plus 25. Now the Royals are at plus 39. So, they're officially number 1 in the MLB. But yeah, they're just a really good team. I think a lot of people going into the season kind of expected the Royals to be good because they actually spent money for the first time in forever. Because obviously when we were doing the K4 series, that was actually the one team that Reese was like, you know, I could see this team taking over the AL Central because, you know, it's kind of an up for grabs, division. And all their starters that they brought in with Lugo, Waka, and all of them, they've all proved to be really good so far. So if that can keep going, and obviously they got, you know, Vinny Pasquantino and those guys, if they're hitting and Bobby Witt, it'd be good.
Yeah, you're right though. People were, it was in hushed tones, Evan.
Yeah.
It was hushed tones. It was, I think the Royals could be good because no one really wanted to take that leap of faith.
Yeah.
But they would always default to the division is wide open and who knows. But I think that one thing's that they didn't give enough credit. I think that they're just a good team. They're a good team. So, all right. So seven, I like this. Royals over the Pirates, over the Phillies, over the Rays. All right. What do you got for number six?
So number six, they're actually down one from last week. It's because I think I bumped another team up. So I bumped like another bunch of teams down, but it's the Milwaukee Brewers. They're still doing really well. They're 8-3. They took 2 or 3 from the Mariners and the Reds. Obviously their rotation, DL Hall is off to a pretty good start. Colin Ray is pitching out of his mind right now. Freddy Peralta is obviously taking up the ace role and doing really well. You know, they got Rhys Hoskins, Bryce Terang, Jackson Churio. There's somebody who's actually saying on a broadcast the other day that there's 3 Jacksons that are up for Rookie of the Year. It's Churio, it's Holiday, and it's Merrill. I was like, I didn't realize there's that many Jacksons in the league. But
everyone's buzzing about it. It's going to save baseball, all the Jacksons.
Jackson, you know. Yeah. But
by the way, the Burns trade, the Corbin Burns trade, is right now it's a win-win. It's a win-win. Because you mentioned DL Hall, really right? He's pitching well.
Yep. And then I think Joey Ortiz.
Off to a good start.
Yeah.
I think he's in over 300 last time I checked. So.
Yeah. And he's been good at third base for them. And then he'll probably slide over to short if Adames leaves after the year. But yeah, so he's been really good. And because at first I think people thought it might be a tad bit lopsided on the Orioles side of it, but those guys are proven that the Orioles are just so deep that like 2 lower level prospects for them ends up being, you know.
Well, I think what? Who was Ortiz was their number 6 pro? They would have been higher level prospects for everybody else. Let's be honest.
Exactly.
So yeah, and I got to be honest. Like I don't know Pat Murphy, the manager for the Brewers, but I know of him, and I know of him through Dustin Pedroia, who had him at Arizona State, and you would hear like the stories, the Pat Murphy stories, and it just like this guy. I wanted him to win. I want him to get a chance and win. So, all right, I like that. Brewers number 6. All right, number 5.
All right, number 5, another team off to a hot start and currently leading the AL Central is the Cleveland Guardians. They're up 1 from last week. I had them at number 6 last week, now number 5. They swept the Twins, took 2 of 3 from the White Sox. They're kind of just hitting on all cylinders now. Obviously, Tanner Bibee's doing really well. Obviously, the Bieber injury hurt, but they just have so much depth in the rotation, and they're another team where it's like they seemingly have like never-ending pitching depth in the minors too. So, like, if there's a guy Tanner Burns in AAA who could probably take a rotation spot if, you know, anybody else goes down. And then obviously when Andrés Giménez and, you know, the guy who's always underrated for the MVP every year, José Ramírez, when those guys are getting going, it's really hard to ignore the Cleveland Guardians. And right now they're off to a super hot start.
Well, I think Kwan is leading the majors or leading the American League in hitting right now. Or
the hitter version of Joe Kelly. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm going to Cleveland, in about a week and a half. Thank you for reminding me, writing that down. Talk to Stephen Kwan about Joe Kelly. Okay. Thank you. All right. Guardians. I would not have said that at the beginning of the year that you would have them at number 5.
Yeah. But
Look at this team you have so far. This weekend. The only team in here, well, the Brewers maybe, but the Rays, I mean, before the year, I would suggest that to say that any of these teams that I'm going to mention would be in the top 10, I would not guess. The Rays, the Pirates, the Royals, the Guardians. And we've gone through 6 teams now, 4 of the 6, I was like, they're out of nowhere teams.
Yeah.
All right. That's what makes everything so good in baseball.
Yeah.
All right. Number 4.
All right. Number 4. At first, they were starting to slide down a little bit because they took 1 of 3 from the Pirates. Granted, the Pirates are hot, but then they swept the Red Sox and it kind of, you know, restored hope. Obviously, they called Jackson Holiday, but they were down number 1 from last week because I moved another team up, but I have the Baltimore Orioles 7-4. Colton Cowser's playing out of his mind right now. Like, it's so crazy with them that Austin Hayes, who was an all-star last year, was a guy that people were like, man, if he's in the trade market, I'd give up a lot to get him. And he's on the bench right now because Colton Cowser's just losing his mind on the field and playing crazy. And their lineup, it seems like they're never out of a game, you know? Like, I was watching that one game that I was on MLB Network of Jackson Holiday's debut, and the Red Sox were up by 5. I think it was in, like, the 7th or 8th. Yeah. And then they come back and tie it up and eventually win it. So it's just such a crazy lineup and offense. And then obviously, you know, you got Burns, who's pretty much going to be there every fifth day to get you whatever you need to win. And then the rest of the rotation, you know, obviously Grayson Rodriguez is looking good. I think Cole Irving's kind of shaky. So if they can get somebody to replace him, but otherwise they're doing pretty well.
What's crazy is the lot you mentioned Austin Hayes. That's at the major league level. And then you have these guys who we all know that they're deep farm system, whatever. They're loaded. We get that.
Yeah.
But it's not only that you have these players who are perceived so good at Norfolk, but they're doing well. They're doing insanely well. Heston Kerstad has his OPS is like 1800 or something like that.
Yeah, like any other team would be like, oh, we got this kind of like veteran stopgap. So, you know, we can call up Heston whenever, you know, he feels like he's past triple A level. And with them, it's like, we pretty much have like a potential all-star at every position. Like, you know, like Kobe Mayo was being blocked by Jordan Westberg. Heston Kerstad's being blocked by, you know, Mullins, Santander and Hauser and Hayes. So it's like they got so many guys at every position that it makes it difficult for the guys, but it also makes their depth like crazy. So.
And everyone was obsessing over Jackson Holliday's not on the opening day roster, getting the pick, rookie of the year. Well, Colton Cowser's going to win rookie of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, unless he's eligible, I think. I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he played enough last year to waste it.
So, right now, if we're going to give him the award right now, Colton Cowser, good player. And that was that 2021 draft where you had, it was Henry Davis number one. We talked about this. Henry Davis number one.
Yeah.
It was, Jack Leiter was three.
Yeah. Or was it Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter?
No. Kumar Rocker wasn't in there. Okay. What's his name? Jackson Job, Jack Leiter, Marcelo Meyer, and then Colton Cowser, number five.
Yeah.
Then, Jordan Lawler, number six.
And yeah.
That was a good draft. That was a really good draft. And one of the things, speaking of drafts, the 2020 draft was not a great draft because it was all over the place. But you know who nailed that draft? The Orioles.
Yeah.
The Orioles nailed that draft. So
it's crazy. I remember you guys doing the exercise with Sam Dykstra. I'm like, would you trade any of the top five picks for Dylan Cease one for one? And for most part, he's like, no, these guys are all studs, you know?
Right. So. Well, you wouldn't, I mean, I don't even know where we landed on Cowser, but certainly now you wouldn't.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Number four. I can't argue with you. They're a good team. They're going to have some work to do when it comes to the pitching at the deadline. That's my guess. Yeah. Not that that's forever ago or way down the road, but still, if I'm looking at that team position, great, fine, super. But you have to get a good Grayson Rodriguez. You have to go to get good Cole Irvins. You have to get, you know, fill out that rest of it. And I do think ultimately you're going to have to get another relief pitcher just to cover yourself in case Kimbrel goes sideways. So there you go. Number three, what do you got?
Yeah, so number three, as much as I despise them as a Mets fan and as much as we just took two or three of away from them, the Atlanta Braves, 7-4, they swept the D-backs, took one of three from the Mets. The thing with them is even when you're beating them, it's like an uncomfortable feeling. Like yesterday, obviously, we ended up, you know, like beating the crap out of them. But at first, when it was only 7-0, it's a team where you're like, yeah, but if we don't get more insurance, they're always going to be back in on it because that lineup just top to bottom is like dangerous. So
yeah, but here's the
helmet.
Here's the thing is that how important has getting Chris Sale been for them so far? It's been
huge. Especially losing Strider.
Strider out, right?
Yep.
Max Fried hasn't pitched well.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like basically Morton and Sale are like their top two guys right now, you know? So it's, their pitching, I guess, is, you know, kind of tricky. Their bullpen has been kind of iffy except for Iglesias, but that offense can kind of just make up for all that at any point.
All right. Let's see. I'm trying to do the math. You have the Braves at number three. I know one of the top two is number two.
Yeah, so number two, up two from last week, I have the New York Yankees. They're 10-3. Two of three from the Blue Jays and the Marlins. They're just playing out of their mind right now. You know, Juan Soto has definitely helped that lineup. Verdugo, you know, hit his first home run in the Yankee Stadium the other day, so he's playing pretty well. And it's just like Volpe's playing out of his mind right now. Like a lot of people are like, oh, is he now the new best shortstop in New York? Which makes for fun arguments over why Lindor's still better, even though he's had a rough start. But it's just made, that team's just fun to watch. They keep winning. I think they have the best record in the entire league right now in terms of win loss, like having less losses and the same amount of wins, obviously, as the other team. But yeah, I mean, they're doing really well, and it's hard to argue against them right now. I thought that, you know, Garrett Cole, that injury would kind of knock them out of everything, but Stroman stepped up, and yeah, so they've been really good.
By the way, Alex Verdugo's hitting 200. So
yeah.
He said a lot of accurate things, but it might not have been one of them. So you obviously have the Dodgers at number one, and I know that it's because I know how easily you are seduced by our guests. So. So when Joe comes on and said, yeah, you know, it's when we, if we lose, we're just going to win the next three. You know, that's how it is. But it does. I was the one who said that initially, and I kind of mean it. Like it's whatever. You beat us, whatever. It's whatever. It just feels that way.
No, yeah. In the regular season, they're a team. I think I even said it last week too, where it's like, they're going to get to the win total they need to get to make the playoffs and probably win that division. It's just a matter of, you know, getting there. And it's just like, even if they start off rough or even if they have a rough patch, it never seems to matter. Like I think last year in like, I don't know if it was like August or July, everybody was like, oh, the Dodgers are starting to slip. You know, maybe they won't get it. And then by the end of the season, they were like freaking a million games up by the end of the year. So it's just like a team where it's like, they really don't have to worry about winning. Like I know their fan base, I don't really know if their fan base is super reactive like some of these other teams' fan bases where we're 15 games in and I don't know if they're like losing their mind over every loss. I doubt it because it just feels like they're kind of like, well, we'll wait till October and then see what happens then. So,
well, they have them and the Yankees, the only two teams with 10 wins.
Yeah.
And you look at that American League West, Evan, and I still think there's going to be one of these teams that sort of catches fire and does well. Yeah. The Padres, as we sit here, 7-8, the Diamondbacks 6-7, the Giants 5-8. So I think that that'll change, but you know, you think the Dodgers are scared of any of those teams? No.
No. And the crazy thing is they were so good last year and then they got like the best pitcher and best hitter on the market and they've, for the most part, both been as advertised, so it's like, it's very hard to make a solid argument against why, you know, the Yankees, let's say, would be better than them in the power rankings.
Alright, I'm gonna finish this off. You're not prepared for this, but since you're a student of the game, you can handle it. Give me your worst team in baseball right now.
I mean, the one that comes to mind, and I know we have a friend of the program on them, but I think it might be the Rockies because it's just like every game I've seen them, they've been making like defensive miscues and then they don't really hit that well. So it's kind of been a rough sledding for them. It was like that guy we had Patrick Lyons on. He's like, you know, they're frustrating, you know, like I enjoy watching baseball, but I don't really enjoy watching this team exactly. So that's kind of how it feels for them. And it kind of stinks because obviously in that division, everybody else is trying to win except them, but that's kind of how it feels to me.
Yeah. They got some interesting players and, you know, we've had on Nolan Jones and, you know, and some of these other guys, Brenton and, yeah. And yeah, so it's, they've got some interesting players, but yeah, I mean, I don't know the Marlins obviously 2-11 as we sit here right now, but
yeah, I feel like they can bounce back. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're going to bounce back, but I think they'll be better. Yeah. But you know, I was almost like baiting you into saying the A's and the A's are sneaky, like decent.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
The guy, like one of the guys, if you had to say, if there was a pitcher and everyone go listen to Oz Ocampo talk about the pitcher everyone's talking about so far this year, which is Yoenel Blanco, the no hit guy. But other than Blanco, the pitcher that everybody is obsessing over. You know who I'm going to say, right?
Yeah, Mason Miller.
Mason
right?
Miller.
He's crazy. He's throwing like
everyone's Googling Mason Miller.
He's like, moving around. Yeah. It's insane. And I think he was a starter at one point, so it's probably better for his arm that he's now like pretty much the closer, or at least like late in the bullpen. But yeah, I mean, he's crazy. So he's, I mean, if they, you know, really get going on a roll and he's their closer and they're up at really at any point, I feel like he's the guy that could definitely get it done and keep them, you know, out of being the losingest team in baseball this year.
That's all you want, really. That's all you. I just had a friend of mine who's trying to get to all the parks. He's like, oh, you know, the one we haven't got to is Oakland. I'm like, don't even bother. Don't.
Yeah. Like, don't. Go to a Sacramento River Cats game. You'll basically be.
Yeah. Don't check off. It's not even worth checking off the box. Wait. Yeah. Wait till they go to Sacramento. Then you can say that's the major league park. Then go to that. Even bother.
It seems kind of depressing there.
But. Well, yes, it is depressing, but they have a better team than some people thought. So,
yeah.
And I do not think they're the worst team in the majors. And that's not only because they've won more games. They've won 5 games already, but because I think that they actually have some semi-talented guys on there. Like I would say right now, the White Sox where they're at.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels.
If somebody put out a picture of their lineup the other day and it was pretty depressing because it's like most of their players are probably bench guys for most teams outside of obviously like Robert, who's now hurt, and a couple other guys, but it's like a majority. Well,
we gotta get, you know what we gotta get back on is Kopech. Kopech is like, he's become, I'm so happy for him, man. Like became like, he's like the 100 mile an hour closer.
Yeah, he was always, it felt like, a guy that, like, they should put in the bullpen, but then they were kind of, like, trying to see if they can get a rotation guy out of him, because obviously, I guess, rotation guys at the end of the day are more valuable, so players want to be that, but I feel like he was always a guy that made sense to put in the bullpen, so it's...
Yeah, well, you know what makes sense? For the most part, your rankings make sense, sort of. Sort of. All right, good job. Excellent job.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
2 stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.